Mr. Dobson Reel 18. So that first patrol, how long had you been back in the front line when that happened?
I hadn't been very long, I don't think. It was a fighting patrol.
And what was a fighting patrol? What did that consist of?
Well, like Captain Marie, as he was there, right? And about 15 of them. You know, about a couple of Bren guns, I think. And, you know, Sten guns. I had a Sten gun. And like I say, I was always stuck on the back. I don't know why, but I lost. Really, you know why, you kind of tell us. So, it was a fighting patrol, eh? I didn't know what to expect, really. Because I hadn't done one, you know.
What was the procedure? Were you briefed before you went out as to what was expected? And
yeah, about going down into the valley, you know, in a single file. Maybe about a yard between you, so it was black dark. So you can keep in touch with the man in front of you, down the spur, you know, down into the valley. Doing a bit of a sweep through the valley and see if you wouldn't into anything, which you won't, you didn't. But it was very active there, mind, in that part. And then one or two little bits of the skirmishes, I don't know, which was. Anyway, that first one, anything went all right. I just, you know, you're on for about 3 hours or so, or something. You know, I couldn't stop it all because it was that cold. You know.
So you were briefed before you went out. Who briefed you?
Captain Barini was told you what he expected of you, you know, and how to battle, what to do, if under fire, get down, which way to face if you, you know, whichever. But I think if you're under fire, I think you face the way the firing was, I think, you know. I had to keep watching at the back. I had to look behind it so there was nobody.
Yes, I was going to ask you what your particular role was in the patrol.
I turned around and kept in touch with the man in front of us, really, and sometimes I thought I lost him, you know. And I'd heard about tales about these snatch patrols, you know. I mean, we used to do it as well, the last man, you know, the patrol. And I think that was sticking in my mind, like, and I did watch it, like, you know, but everything went all right, like. I kept good watch, I mean.
Who was in charge of the patrol, and was it Captain Barini?
Captain Barini, aye. And he always used to take a Corporal Moody. He was always with him as well. He probably, same lads, you know, he got to know them, and I don't know, he knows he liked them or whatever. You know, you could trust them and that. After that, later on, I did the same lads again.
And can you remember who else was in that patrol?
Well, like Corporal Moody, Jackie Millen, the lad from Seam, was on. Jackie Bates, the lad from Children. I think Bob Storey did it. Les Tatum, and it's funny this. Then when I mentioned we would play football together, and we played in Cap Green, you know, football, you know. It's funny, I didn't know whether he just went through playing football and he got to know her, or whether he, things like that, you know. I think Vic Deer, he was a Cornish lad. He was on as well, I think. It was Brendan, I think it was. So, Clary Garbutt. So really, it was the same ones, probably on the patrols, you know, we used to do it.
And the purpose of the patrol was just to sweep through no man's land, was it?
Yeah, it been a lot of activity there. They wanted to get into the school, too, right? Yeah, so, yeah, I was not breathing that one, when we first went through it, you know, but it wasn't.
Were you nervous?
You know what, I've many times thought about it, and I think you never thought about it. You just, I don't know, you go on with it. You knew you were out in it, you know, from the valley, you could get killed any time. And if it happens, you know, I don't know, I think you just got on with the job, you just did it. you knew you didn't. So that's like at the time I might have been in the room, I think. They stood on the end of the slip and looking behind me, you know, I tried to keep the two from the line in front. And you kept getting down in five positions like that, or anything.
Where were the men drawn from for the patrol? Was it all from the same platoon? Because you were in headquarters company at the time, weren't you? Company headquarters, sorry.
From the platoon, really. You know, there's a two from this one, two from that one, yeah. Three or something, yeah. He was in the company. Everybody knew each other, you know, even when he was a footballer, he was one of them. So I don't know whether he trusted the ones who played football in that man.
Did Captain Burini choose all the men for the patrol? Did he have a choice of what men to take with him?
I think he did, I think he had that choice. Like I said, the footballer, he trusted him.
You mentioned Bren guns. What equipment did you have on the patrol?
Well, you always had the grenades, the hand grenades, and I forget whether it was one or two phosphorus grenades. And there was a rumor about them that if you were caught by Chinese or United Koreans, you didn't make them with the phosphorus. We've heard, you know, you sometimes pull them out. Well, that was true, that was good, yeah.
What were the purpose of these phosphorus grenades?
They burn them. And burn them swiftly when they left them off. They didn't really, not like an ordinary grenade, you know, explode. It was like that. Burn. You could always bet that before it came back, there was always a few missing. It was really, you know, lost them on purpose.
What other weapons did you have?
We had an iron stendron, and that was it, just a stendron. And spare things like heavy bolts, you know. I didn't have a wireless on me. I had a wireless. It was really lovely to have that. He was a corporal. I think he liked him because he was a daredevil, you know, he didn't get out. I think he'd be a good lad if he'd have been in a battle like that. He trusted a lot of them. You know, as everybody, you know, the future, you know. But generally, I don't know, there was something about being in the game, he wasn't in the rough. You know, those don't trust him. I think that's what they come to bring when they came with them. So I was out of him, really. I've only met him once, I come home. And he went drinking with him, and I had a crew. Once he left me. So he came here, so I'm not coming home. So I didn't have any life with him, and I didn't. He was good.
Did you keep in contact whilst you were out on patrol?
Yeah.
You mentioned a radio, someone had a radio.
Yes, somebody had a radio in front of the captain, but you know. You had to tell them you couldn't in, so you mind that was for getting checked yourself, but you know, they're possible, you know, that you had to tell them you couldn't in, you know, that's what you kept it, but I did carry up set once, you know, that's the one I told you. But I can do what I meant.
And you mentioned there were two Bren guns.
Yeah, there were two or three Bren guns anyway. The rifles, the 303s. And I had a Stendhal. Captain Green had one of them Australian ones, like a 200 one. It was, I forget how that sort of tape that was, but they brought that with me. And joined the battalion on that. And I don't know if it was the name, but I made it seem as the same, you know, but he had a couple of them.
What time did the patrol set out on a night time? Can you remember?
Well, then I was a bit dark, you know, in the middle. It wasn't it was never too late in that garden. I did 10 o'clock or something like that. So we just spent about 3 hours out.
And it must have been very cold at this time of year, was it?
And it was bad for the water. And the water, standing on something, breaking a tree, you know, because there wasn't no trees, you know, but there was trees, you know, there were bushes and things like that. The grass was dead. And the frost, you know, when we walk on the frost and that creeks, you know. So you had to be very careful, like, I mean, that's what you need to be really weird, like, you know.
What was the terrain like?
Well, it was very hilly. I'm coming down from the open there, down into the valley. And I think in there, I think there was a, like a stream. Probably moving through that, okay. You might cross over, you know, you might get wet. On this side, towards the Chinese lines, you know, the lines.
How far away were the Chinese lines?
Well, then I would say maybe about 150 yards, 200 yards, no more.
And where did the lines, where were the lines? Were they on the hilltops, the valley top?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was known as the 38th parallel, you know, well, above it. We were above the 38th parallel. I think that what we used to call it, but it was above the 38th. That was the halfway line in the clear. It was above there. I think it was about 2 miles from this side. 2 or 3 miles inside that. But if you turn the line, like, I mean, during the day, if you looked out, you could see the Chinese lines, you know, they've been blasted and that, you know. They always was a bit better, like, because we didn't have blasted, which is in, you know, in the Air Force, like that.
Could you see the Chinese front line?
Oh yes, yes. I could see it. So when I'm down in the valley, I knew it was there. You know, in front of you. There it is. So, you know, you had to be careful. Right?
That must have been a little unnerving, was it?
Yeah, I suppose it was. When you, I many times thought about it. You know, what did I really feel like, you know, knowing that that was their enemy line, and I mean, I wasn't a kid that he turned off, you know, I mean, anything could have happened, you know, in their patrol, because they did have them out, you know, that particular time they saw them.
And that was really the purpose of that fighting patrol, wasn't it, to try and find Chinese patrols?
Yeah, it was to engage. That was the thing to do, and also to make sure that they weren't coming across the valley line, you know.
So how did you move around in the no man's land?
Well, as quiet as you could, not too far from the railroad yards here, and you walk in front of them there. And every now and then, you'd stop, you know, and get on the numbers and listen. Quite, I'd say. If you could hear any patrols in Chinese or Korean or something. You had a habit of their patrol would send out two groups, you know, in front of their fighting patrol. So that if you saw them, they would throw them up, they're not engaged there, that's the first question they have made. Because the main patrols.
How could you see? Was it very dark or?
It was. My window was sometimes in the night, you know, and bits in the night. But you could do the tell out lines, you know, things like the hills and all that. And really, I mean, you couldn't move a long way from the position you were on, you know. I mean, it might have been, I don't know, that much or Americans on the river, you know, whichever year. So you really were in the perimeter. That's, you had to cover that. So you weren't far from the lines, like, so you get back if anything really did happen, you know. That's what it was really, trying to engage if there was something happening down the valley, if they were coming across, which you used to do, you know.
How did you find your way around and when you were out there in no man's land?
Well, that was the least, you know, that, we just followed him, so I don't know, I would have a compass or whatever. Or he used to study the hills, you know, on the front line. He used to actually, you know, this is what is doing me in city life, really. I always look for a point, anywhere I had. A distinctive point, so that he knew, you know, and was the, by the position we left, we had to take notice. The shape of the hill, you know, you might go right down like that, or quick. And you have to take notice of that, so if you were lost, you could get that way. I think I would like to be lost, but you know, I think I would have found you in the back end. But then, it didn't make me in city life, I always looked for somewhere like that.
Did anybody ever get separated from the patrols?
Not that I know of, right? None of my own's happening.
So how long were you out in no man's land?
You know, I think we did about 3 hours, because it was that cold, you know, for the hands and everything. It was really cold, I think.
So what sort of clothing would you have on then?
I had, it was like a, you know, mitts. I had a pair of mitts on. And we had there, we did get issued with a, like a gauntlet pair of gloves, you know. And the trigger finger. Really like a mitt, and the trigger finger was on the sword. You know, so you could do it.
So you obviously you didn't contact the enemy on that first patrol.
No, never saw nothing.
You didn't see any sign of the enemy, did you?
No, never. The first one, I never saw anything.
And what happened when you returned back to your own lines?
He brought it right in, like in the detail of the radio, you know, whatever the code was, and maybe we have a manga. When I was just sitting with the men back in there. Just in case anybody would come and join with you. And I'd spot him as he went in there. You know, because he happened to get him back in there. You know. But there it was, that was me personally in there.
Were you debriefed afterwards?
Yeah, well, it was, you know, what did we think of it? Didn't he say anything? Did you wish you'd find, you know, hit me by something? Like, maybe someone, you know, would just wish to have just to come back and see what it was like, you know, really. I think I was just glad to go back anyway. I didn't really have it out of there, you know, I didn't. So that would be first before me. It went down well, like.
And what happened after that? After your patrol, you got back to the lines. It would be early hours of the morning, I guess.
I tell you what, I used to keep for patrols, but the bar I kept in the kitchen. It was like a big glass bottle of room. There was a new idea come out. It was like a tin, it was a Yankee idea, soup. It's, I forget how we did it, but somehow the close to me, they cleaned it up. So we'd either have a room or one of these tubes.
And you had one of them when you got back?
When I got back, I didn't want to open it. I just sat in the room. And you would have to go to bed, right? You know, the thing, you didn't stand to them. You had to stand to them in the morning. But it'd be like, you know, that was like a job done for the night.
And you, of course, you were still part of the company headquarters.
Oh, yes, I was with them.
And you were in the front line. Did you change? You were in your own hoochie. Did you change around whilst the company was in the front line, or you were always in the same place?
We did like you know, to move to the front. And then it's the next time when you were in reserve, you know. So we didn't survive it, you know. We were stuck in the front all the time, and we didn't seem to do it. Like we were in the front, you know.
Who else was in the company headquarters at this time then? He was still there, was he?
Another mate of mine did come, and that was up there, and he had a number of killers, and that was a few years. Tunio, he was in the bottom. He was in. He was just going to fix it, like, you know. I think he did a patrol, but I didn't know he did many. You know, because it was...
What was Barini's role? Was he was in the company headquarters as well? Because Grant had.
Yeah, he took over from Grant. So Grant didn't see him. And really, you know, was that sort of type, never go away. To me, Grant was, I don't know, too clever. He didn't look the part, put it that way, without combat.
Wasn't as aggressive?
No, you know, but when he was up at arms, you know, he gets to win and hard, and Captain Grant didn't say to that way. I'm not going to say what he goes for yet, but I know about combat, you know.
So life in general went on as before in the front line after your first patrol.
Yeah.
You still had your own duties within the headquarters.
I did a little patrolling. It was a way patrol, but it wasn't that long.
Can you remember when this was?
Probably before the killing. It wasn't that very long, and it was a bit of a, I would say, a bit of a fight patrol. Well, you have to get somewhere there. It was just a chat away, and then we were back in there, so we weren't there very early.
So he'd actually gone out and with a patrol to check the wiring?
Yeah. But I didn't know when we were killing him. I didn't know that.
What was this, just before we come on to that, what other things were going on generally when you were out there on the front line, this particular tour in the front line? Wiring parties?
Yeah, of course.
Did you ever take part in any of them?
No, I didn't do that at all. I just kept my own real life behind the tube thing there. More or less, that part of the three platoons was, there was two platoons along here to our left, you sort of say. There was another platoon just in front of it. We were just before the brow here at the back of it. So really what we had to do was help take the grooming up to the platoons, ammunition, grenades, anything like that. Maybe send us along to sit on the platoon commanders or somebody or somewhere like that. We had a job to do. I remember that there was like this strips. I think before we got out, the Yamsen bombed part of the land, you know. And it was quite a whole land, you know. So what we did, we had these strips. And it was a different way of putting them on the deer. So the deer break at this sample, as they looked down.
Oh, these are.
Whatever.
Yeah, you mentioned these before for the aircraft.
Yeah, for the aircraft. So that was a part of my duty as well,
And what other things were you doing at this time?
when he chose, you know, with nothing for the stereo, chocolates, because I think it would be happy. The medicine,
was that part of company headquarters?
Really tidying the trenches up. I don't know, they'd been hit before we got in there.
But you didn't take part in any wiring parties, working parties, or sentry duty? You didn't do anything like that?
We had a series built there as well, and we had a magazine on the course, we had a tank up on our right side.
Oh no, I think you mentioned this before. Was it dug in?
We used to come up on the top, we used to dig it in there.
So it was used as kind of an artillery piece, really? Did you still have the same artillery with you? Because you mentioned before that you had the New Zealand
artillery. Yeah, we always had the New Zealanders. I think it was Sunbridge, I think, as well, for our division. I think it was the New Zealanders. Because we see them, used to see a lot of them. They come up and check up in the front line and interview them, put them together, look up there, and have a look. So they always kept in touch with me.
Because you were in the Commonwealth Brigade still, weren't you?
Yeah.
Can you remember who else was in the brigade at the time?
Princess Patricia's Canadian Lady, for 2 years out there. Yeah, we were not in the like French Canadians. They never took a prisoner. So we heard it, yeah. That's just what we hear. But we didn't have to deal with them, like, just sitting there already, like, I think we were.
So the general routine continued more or less on a day-to-day business?
And we sort of made that deeper because we could see it. So we had to make it deeper, so there was a way and you walked through it. I think that was a part of the room. Besides that, it was just normal duties. And sometimes I would make the cook. Yeah, the cook was going to go in the room.
And you helped fetch the meals up?
Yeah. What
were they like in general? I think you mentioned before running down and to collect the meals on the shell fire, didn't you?
Yeah, we did as well. And if you get the shell, then you had an chance to get the cooked meal out. And you just had to get all the food.
But was there plenty of hot food then brought up?
He had the burners and all that. The ammunition teams stood inside with them. And at these burners at each end, in the containers, that's where you should cook with.
And what was the weather like in general at this time? Was there much snow?
It was a garret. Not what you call 6 foot drifts or something. I can't remember that. It was a garret, did get the snow. That's when we didn't make enough to throw the last
Could you still get to sleep? Was there much opportunity for sleep?
During the day, you still get enough to sleep. I mean, typically, if you're cracking, you're still at the bed, you can think. You know, you're bending up, you're asleep, but you're shocked, so when you're doing that, you're being caught, and I was hoping you'd be caught, and you pull it over the top like that, and then just keep on, you know. I didn't have a hindering that I did through earlier. I didn't.